It is November 7th, 2023. And I'm confused about something.
I've eaten. I have consumed sustenance. So, and I'm on my way home. It's dark because it's night. I mean, this is not like evening. Like, it's fucking dark. You know. I want to talk a little bit about why I decided to do this in this format. And it was a person, Jason Hobbs. If you know my stuff and you're familiar with it, you know Jason from Hobbs and Friends of the OSR. And he's got his own podcast on Anchor called Random Screed. A little bit before he was on my show just a few weeks ago, I listened to a couple episodes of Random Screed, and I specifically wanted to listen to some about an event that went on. If you want to hear about the event, check out his episodes. He's really open about it, and he talks about what happened and everything. But, you know, we talked about it on the lounge where... why he did Random Screed and what was good for it. I thought, those are things I like. Like, you know, I feel like I'd like to talk to people on a regular basis. I've been thinking about doing a conversational podcast about me for a long, long time. But I didn't want to sit in the basement editing, you know, and talking into a mic for a long period of time and all that stuff. Well, you don't need to. Hey, Jess, you don't need to sit and talk into a mic if you don't want to. There's technology that makes it so you don't have to. So here we are. I'm talking into my headset as I drive home. Instead of listening to podcasts, I guess I'm making podcasts. So Hobbs inspired me, and I appreciate him for that. And he's a good guy, and he's had to deal with some real bullshit lately. And I'm glad to have had a conversation with him. I'm glad that, you know, he's part of the network that I get to work with. And I'm glad that everything worked out in that way. As far as I know, you know, whatever else happens, happens. But anyways, I wanted this to be about kind of my constant musings of crazy shit that just fills my skull all the time. There's going to be swears. I don't know if you've noticed, but there have been a few already. I'd like to note them. I've said shit a few times, and I believe I said fuck at least once, maybe more, but now it's at least twice. So yeah. So you're going to get some swears, right? Like, let's face it. I mean, let's face it. If this is a complete catastrophe of a situation, and this goes out there and nobody cares, at least everybody gets to hear some fun swears, right? I might do an episode where I talk about swearing and cursing. It's probably going to happen. Because that's a topic that I think about a lot. So you know, I'm hoping that this can be kind of my personal diary, but that I put out there publicly for everybody to listen to. It's like a blog, but well. So what I've just done is describe in two different ways podcasting. So what I'm hoping this is a podcast. And yeah. I do want to end every episode of this by spotlighting a podcast that I think is really great and really cool and that I don't hear a lot of buzz about. I mean, I feel like I mentioned Hobbs and Friends of the USR and Random Screed. You should be checking those out because they're super great. You know, if you're into role-playing games, Hobbs and Friends is just a spectacular way to engage with that environment. I've learned a lot by listening to episodes about, you know, games that aren't considered OSR games. I mean, I don't really engage directly too much with the OSR. I guess I put out an OSR game technically, but in a weird way. You know, and we define it a little bit on my show when Hobbs and I talk, but regardless of whether you're into that specific subgenre of tabletop gaming, or you are doing other types of narrative gaming, narrative tabletop gaming, there's always some good information on there. Resources never hurt when you're doing that. And Hobbs and Friends of the OSR, that's what that's all about. And then Random Screed is the great companion piece. So there we go. There's my recommendations for today. We'll see what I recommend tomorrow. It could be lots of things. Could be anything. Could be everything. Maybe I'll recommend everything. Could you imagine if I was just tomorrow, I'm like, hey, everybody, I'm going to recommend every fucking podcast, all of them, not just a couple that I think are cool, not even just the ones I listen to, everything, and I'm going to start naming them off right now, right? What would that be like? That'd be nuts, right? Crazy, except we're going to try to avoid words like nuts and crazy because I'm trying to learn to be a better person and be more aware of mental illness. It would be strange. It would be weird. It would be unusual. And it would probably be pretty confusing. But that's okay because confusion is my superpower.
So, this will probably end up being kind of weird because the way I'm recording it, but yes, I am doing an episode again. Let's talk about what's happened. This is probably going to be a longer episode because I'm going to catch all of you up. Anyone that has had this sitting in their stream and never like turned off like alerts to it is going to get a lot of shit. The last I spoke, I think I talked about my mom dying, and that was real rough. That was 2019. And then there was a pandemic. I believe I put out some episodes during the pandemic. I don't remember. Oh, no, I must have, because I was putting out stuff about Marvel, and one of the feedback I got from that, from one of the listeners, so it was a poll of about half of my listenership, was that nobody gave a shit about the Marvel stuff. And that's okay. I get it. I am probably going to talk about RPGs, and I'm probably going to keep calling it Marvel is my other superpower, or maybe superheroes are my other superpower. I don't know. But I'll talk about it because I'm running a bunch of superhero RPGs in over the next year. Pandemic happened. I've been looking for consistent work ever since, 2020. Still haven't fucking found anything because, you know, the job market is insane and companies are allowed to lie now which is super cool. Thank you for that, Donald Trump, that companies are allowed to just blatantly lie and say, we have all these jobs available and not actually have any jobs available. But then it makes, what it does is it says, here are the available jobs. Here's the people that are employed, unemployed. Here's the available jobs. And that number, when you take the number of unemployed people minus the available jobs, is the number that they use to determine the unemployment number. So we have record unemployment, I believe still, I don't know, but it has been record for a long time, and it seemed like it, because companies are allowed to lie. But ultimately, like, I know multiple people that are unemployed in my life and still trying to find something. And, you know, the whole world is struggling in this post-pandemic era and stuff like that. So I thought, you know, boy, what would be a great idea? And I talked it over with my wife, and we're like, yeah, you know, this is, everything's bad. The world sucks. Everybody has undergone severe trauma. If you're listening to this, you have had trauma, except that you have had trauma. But if you don't want to, then you're only going to make yourself feel worse all the time. But what we decided to do is have a kid. We talked about it for a long time. My wife was kind of getting to the point where she's like, I'm getting a little older. You're getting a little older. I'm older than her by about 12 years. And so at the ripe age of 47, I guess the process started when we're 46, went to the fertility clinic, got tested. They're like, there's like a less than 5% chance of it happening on its own. And we were like, oh, well then, what can we do? And so we ended up going through a little process, ended up doing IVF. We got to pick our baby. We got to pick the exact embryo that got implanted is the right word. Sorry, I'm yawning. I have a small baby. And we did. And we, you know, got started this process, and we knew it would be a girl. First one didn't take. Second one took, and we went through the whole process. Ended up being very easy pregnancy overall, despite the world being awful and everything. And it ended up being a much easier birth than was expected. And we have this amazing human. My wife, as I have said multiple times, and I've had a couple of medical professionals that say, can I start using that? I said, yes. My wife 3D printed a human. And we have this amazing child. She's fantastic. She really is. I change most of her diapers. I get annoyed when I can't change a diaper, but sometimes I can't. Sometimes I'm tired, or I just, if I'm not there, or something like that. But I love that. I love being able to change her diapers. That's our time. She gets so excited. We have a great time. And mommy takes care of, you know, the feeding, and then the rest of the stuff. I mean, right now I'm kind of full-time caretaker during the day while mama works. And that's the whole thing. She is going on 5 months. She was born in June. She looks a lot like my mom, which is great and awful at the same time, which is funny. But she's great. She's got a great laugh. It's funny. She has a what's called a lip culp, where she's got this kind of, her lip, it drops down a little bit, and it's the kind of thing that like Elvis had this, or Drew Barrymore has this kind of thing. Milo Ventimiglia, I think I'm saying that right. And that was, you know, what we kind of all mentioned, like those names, Sliced Alone. Like we mentioned those names with this, but there was some concern, like, you know, is this a nerve thing? Is this an issue? It turns out it's really not. She's been able to feed. She's been able to kind of do everything. She just has a little bit of a cockeyed smile sometimes. And when she yells, it's a little cockeyed. It's actually pretty fucking cute. And her name, my wife came up with this and, you know, cause she wanted Margaret really bad. She wanted a name. Mickey, shit. Well, okay. She wanted to name the girl, a girl, Margaret. I was not for Margaret, even though my grandmother had that as her name. My mother had that as her middle name. It was originally her first name, but my grandmother didn't like being called Big Marge, so she became, Yippee. Yeah, okay. That was a weird one. There was somebody coming out the wrong way. Hey, how often do I do this podcast? Some fucking weird thing can happen. There we go. There's the one. What do you know? Somebody coming out the wrong way out of a one way. Just waving like, hey, everything's fine. Is it? Because you don't seem fine, you dumb fuck. All right. So I'm delivering a cake, as I am wont to do sometimes on these. Margaret, then she comes back with, well, we both have aunts named Carol who passed under very different circumstances. My aunt Carol Edmund passed due to COVID complications, and it was very sad. I said, oh, okay. So Margaret Carol is what we were looking at. And then Kristen says Margaret Carol Edmund, as my last name happens to be, MCE. Mickey, and the child's nickname became Mickey, at which point I was like, well, I can't argue with that. So there we go. So that's the kid. There's more. I'll get there. Okay. I'm back. I am, in the process of delivering, some food around. I guess that was what I was doing last time. I'm delivering some food around to people. I'm not currently wearing a seatbelt as my car is moving forward, so that's something I'm adjusting. Okay, there we go. That's the kid. She's pretty great. What else? I've explored, and I don't know. I had done this a little bit, I think, the last time I recorded, but I don't know how much detail I went into. I've explored my own autism. I talked with an expert on adult autism, and they were like, hey. I was like, I don't know. You know, sometimes I see things, and I'm like, maybe it's weird. So I just wanted to just kind of have the conversation, see what's going on. I've had something going on with my brain head. Like my whole life, like what is, you know, maybe we can figure it out what it is exactly. And he was like, oh yeah, no. And I said, but you know, I don't have any of the like social awkwardness or anything like that. And in fact, I'm really good in social situations. He's like, how good? And I was like, real good. I just fit right in. He's like, you know, people just approach you. You know, conversation with everybody, like all these things. He starts naming off all these things I fucking do. And I was like, So it turns out that you can actually still, there's a version of autism that is hard to diagnose because the person with it is able to navigate social situations very easily. And I've talked with now three therapists about this. All three have said, you need to get an official diagnosis. I've yet to get an official diagnosis. After these conversations, my sister started investigating it, has found a lot of the same stuff, but in a different way. And that's on my father's side. My sister and I have the same father with different mothers. But on my father's side of my family, my cousin Ryan, who's amazing, has been diagnosed with autism his whole life, starting in the 80s. And the shitty thing about that is that he has been told, I don't know, this guy can do anything. He's so smart. He's so awesome at everything he does. And he just, it sucks to see it because I don't want to put anybody down or anything like that. It's just that people didn't know. People didn't know how to deal with these things. And Ryan is a result of people not knowing how to address someone that has this level of autism, where they're high functioning and capable and smart and fucking brilliant and kind, and I mean, I guess, you know, whatever. Like, he's such a pure person and he's such a good person, and yet he's stuck in this loop of no confidence, of you know, he could do anything, and he likes what he does. He for a living, but you can tell that he craves like more in his life. And I would love to give it to him, but I only have so much time and energy and resources myself. And his parents, are getting on in years and everything. And his brother lives out of town. And, so it's a whole thing, with that. But, you know, I look at his dad and I'm like, oh, interesting. There's a pretty clear line there. And then I look at my dad. And like, yeah, that's a pretty clear line there. And then my sister, like I said, is exploring her. Oh yeah, no, there's a very like there's definitely this thread throughout that side of the family that is something going on. Now, my variation of it manifests very different than the variation that I think a lot of them do. Although I think it's similar to what my father has. But the on the other side of it, my cousin contacts me, is like, hey, I've been doing some research. I've been looking into some things I've always had going on. And I think maybe not only am I autistic, I think maybe your mother was autistic. And then I start analyzing things on that side of the family and like, holy shit. Now, it is a weird thing of like, well, does this exist on all sides? What's kind of happening here? But I really am starting to think that what we consider to be autism is some manifestation of something else entirely. It's some other circumstance that is created and that, I don't know. Humans are rapidly altering our environment. And I don't just mean like ecologically. I mean like we're changing how we interact with data constantly. And you know, over the last century, when you think about it, how we consume and connect with the world has changed so much. In 1923, if you didn't know how to read, you know, might be tough, but it wasn't impossible to survive. You wouldn't be able to you know, there wouldn't be, you wouldn't be stuck, unable to function. In 2023, it's an impossibility. It's you know, if you can't read, it's dramatically, you know, affects everything about your life. You know, unless you find a way to kind of maneuver through that, which honestly, it takes a degree of intellect as well. You know, if someone is illiterate, and doesn't know how to read and I shouldn't say illiterate. I mean, I'm dyslexic, and I've been diagnosed with dyslexia since I was 22. And, you know, if I had it more severely, would I have learned to read? Like, hopefully. But what I did do is I learned how to cheat on tests growing up so that I didn't get a diagnosis, because I knew that a diagnosis would mean that I would probably potentially be beaten to death by my stepfather. And, you know, so I guess my point is that, like, I think that I process data in unique ways, but I process data very well, and I'm good at it. I just don't do it in the way that people look at and go, this is how you're supposed to process data. I honestly do believe that that my capacity to process information, especially when it comes to social interactions, is to a higher degree of most of the people I've ever met. And I think that, you know, I have to wonder if the higher diagnosis, the higher degree of diagnosis of autism is A, because the tools that we need to interact with society are all ones that might see an issue were someone to, you know, not be able to read or not be able to do specific things that autism or let's face it, any neurodivergent condition might allow. I think I may have talked about this once before where I even said, I believe that people that are neurodivergent are an evolutionary step forward. And I don't discount that. I think that, and I think that it's the constant approach from a societal, from a scholastic, from even a parental, view is that neurodivergence is bad and wrong, and you should feel bad about the fact that you're not as good as everybody else. And I think that's fucking bullshit, because I don't think I'm not as good as anyone else anymore. And that's a whole other thing too. I've also been through some very unique therapy and dealt with a lot of my own personal stuff. I've also had an occasion where someone from my past tried to fucking blackmail me, about things that went on. And, instead of, you know, capitulating, which I don't know where he thought I would have this money that didn't exist. I just told everybody what happened. And this is what went on. And then I got back to him. I went and told everybody, so you don't have to. You know, this has been a strange decade so far. And I guess I want to just document that. And I guess that's what I want to do going forward. So here's where I am now. I have this amazing kid. I have a wonderful wife. I have some good friends. I take care of the baby, and then twice a week I run tabletop role-playing games for these kids that I do through an organization called Young Dragon Slayers, that allows me to kind of, you know, not only foster my creativity, but do something really amazing. These incredible kids are just, the fact that I'm able to kind of give this to them. I mean, you know, I'm paid for it, and that's the whole idea. But the fact that someone is willing to pay for this kind of entertainment for them is I think amazing. And I'm very thankful to their parents that they're willing and able to do that. And so that's where, you know, I'm not doing the improv troupe right now, because, quite frankly, it looks like it might have gone to shit. And there's someone who insists that it is his, and, it is my fault that he is there, and I don't know how to deal with that. So that's a whole other thing. But yeah, I guess my point is that I want to start doing this again, and it's going to be just as intermittent and annoying as before. Maybe I should aim higher than that. Maybe I should try for more so. We'll get there. And hey, we'll get there together. But, you know, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, dirty limericks, street jokes. I love street jokes. Just tell me a street joke. You know, whatever it might be. Street jokes are not like comedian jokes. They're like jokes that are like, anyways, street jokes. You know, let me know. I'll keep everybody posted on this, about what's going on. My next one, I'll probably talk a little bit about RPGs, just because I love RPGs, and that's my, you know, it's one of the three things I'm good at. And that's what I'll close with. I found finally in life the three things that I'm really good at, and tabletop RPGs were the first. I found that when I was 10 years old, and I started running games right away, and I did a really good job. I'm very good at that, and I'm good at that to the point where there are people that are professional with that, like that are making a lot of money, that will sit down at my table and then say, "You're really, really good at this." And so that should be, that's something that I'm going to be looking to explore over the next few years, is kind of like, you know, how can I bring that out more? YDS, the organization I'm working with, it's an amazing way to get that done. And I'm hoping to do that more. My second thing was improv. I kind of fell into that. They asked me if I wanted to go. I auditioned, and then they were like, you didn't have to audition. And I was like, cool. And, so I'm, but that was my second thing that I was good at. And my third is being a dad. I'm good at it. I understand, I think, what it means to protect this person and make sure that this person, becomes the best version of who she can be that we could possibly offer. And I think that I just want her to be who she is going to be. I don't want her to be me, or I don't want her to be my wife. I don't want her to be anybody but who she wants to be. And we're going to offer options for things. My wife, I'm sure, is going to be like, well, I know, is going to be like, oh, you know, we'd like you to take dance. Okay, fine. I'm going to be like, hey, you're going to play some role-playing games and learn some comics and stuff like that. And we'll find out what she wants. And, you know, it might be that. But yeah, so there we go. I'm tabletop role-playing games, improvisation, being a dad. Those are my three things, my three talents. About time. I got there under 50 to find my three things. So yeah. If you have anything, let me know. I'm Doc Palindrome everywhere, and I will see you on the flip.